All right, let's dive into the message this week. I'm lacking my
pointer clicker thing. You have it? Oh,
Jacob, you're the turn. All right, we're in the last week of our series, God's Promise is Greater Than My Problem. God's Problems. Wow, I have problems too, guys. You tell you what, this week kicked my butt. And I realize that I'm a very insecure, selfish, and bad person in general. I just like have some negative traits about me, and sometimes I really live into them. Does anybody else live into their negative traits? Everyone raised their hand, so they had problems. Nobody lives into their negative traits. That's cool. I'm glad you guys figured it out. Do you want to preach it? No, just kidding. Just kidding. I can't. It doesn't work that way. I promise this. It's really good. I promise for you. Okay. So what we're talking about this week is weakness and insecurity versus God's strength. So the problem that I have, the problem that a lot of you might have, is weakness and or insecurity. And the promise that God has for us is strength. God's strong. He's big, powerful, has so much on us that we can't even comprehend the vastness of who he is. They don't have telescopes that look far enough into the universe that he created. They don't have microscopes that look small enough into the molecules that create. Have you ever seen an actual picture of molecules? No, not really. They're always animated because you can't take a picture. Too small. How cool is that? He's an amazing, amazing God, bigger and better than we could ever imagine. And he desired a relationship with us, so he sent his son into the world to be perfect, spotless, amazing, and call us into community with the Father. And I am excited and passionate about that. The problem is that we can't be perfect like Jesus. So instead, for Jesus, come on. Have you heard of it? Cut me, I bleed, I break, bones snap, injuries happen. Yes, they do. They happen to you. They do. The injuries happen. Stuff happens. But it's not just our physical bodies. It's actually our mentalities and our souls that have been corrupted to think the wrong way. And so this weakness and or insecurity is a problem. We compare, contrast, and for what feels like to me are just constantly being pervaded or having weakness come into our lives and just chew us up. And always be pointing out all of our flaws. Have you guys ever been made, like you've felt insecure because someone said something? And then what happens? It eats you alive. Either earlier today, I'm in the lobby with some students, and I told a particular student that something was running in their nose, like their nose was running, and they could not stop touching their face. What's going on? And her nose was never running, okay? I just poked on that little bit of insecurity of like, whoa, I might embarrass myself. And all of a sudden, they couldn't function without touching their face a million times. Just like, if I get out of bed. And guys are like this. Girls are probably not like this. But you look in the mirror one time, you're like, okay, good enough. And then you go on about your day. And girls look in the mirror and they go like, oh my gosh, I look like that. You guys look great in not wearing makeup, okay? You all look great without your makeup and your hair done. I promise. I'm not saying it just because I am a dad to a daughter and my wife is beautiful without makeup. I'm saying it because you probably are too. Stop saying that about yourself, okay? You are, absolutely. God made you beautiful. Okay, but guys, don't think about it. And so all of a sudden in the middle of the day, I'll like catch a glimpse of my hair in the mirror, and I'll realize that this part of my head I couldn't see in the mirror, and it's just completely flat and messed up. And now I'm insecure, and the rest of the day I'm going to be going like this and trying to do it. And you know, I have really stiff hair, and so I actually have to like literally take a shower in order for it to do anything than just stand straight up in the air. So I'm so thankful when I get a haircut because I don't look like a chia pet, right, Jess? Or a hedgehog. But insecurity is constantly pervading our lives. What does the Bible have to say about insecurity? Oh, it has a lot to say about insecurity. We're going to start with this verse in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Now, Paul is saying this, maybe you have a struggle, something that differentiates you from a quote-unquote normal person. We're all different, right? But maybe there's a part of you that feels like a weakness. Maybe there's a part of you that feels like, I just can't learn this fast. I just can't do this quick. God's grace is sufficient for even that insecurity and weakness. God has designed each and every one of us in a perfect way so that we can connect with him in a unique way and connect with others in a unique way to bring glory to God in a new way. Right? So it's so important that we realize that God's grace goes so much further than our weakness, than our insecurities, and that thing that's plaguing us or bugging us or making us feel like we're inadequate or not enough. I have a quick story. I wasn't going to tell that other story, but I got this one. This one's cool. Not fun, okay? So I was in college, and college was good, but college was really hard. I reached a point in my semester where the only way to pay for my schooling was to continue working two jobs and then going to school full-time. It was about 21 credits. If you go and you know anything about college, a full load is around 15 to 16, maybe 18, depending on where you go. So it's a little bit over that. Had a lot going on. Also played on worship teams and stuff, both Sunday mornings and Wednesdays and different things like that. And then worked, those weren't jobs. Those were just for fun because I felt called to it. I was exhausted at the end of the semester. I wanted to tell you how personal God is and what in that moment for me it wants to be for you. I'm sure there's moments where you felt exhausted. So my alarm would go off and it was the classic iPhone alarm. Do you know it? The classic iPhone alarm. It's like, and it gives you anxiety and you start to get like this really uncomfortable feeling in your stomach every time you hear it. Anyone else? Okay, I had it in that season. And so I have anxiety just every time I hear it. There's actually Shauna, who led worship up here. She's Australian and she's cool. So if you know anyone that says like, hey, have you ever met someone from Australia? That's cool. You know her. She's actually from Australia and she's really cool. And she has alarms on her phone. And so, and she doesn't pay attention to how loud they are. So all of a sudden it'll just go off and it'll be like every hour or two. So I've experienced some anxiety this week. You guys can pray for me in that. Because every time I'm in a meeting with her, it goes off. And it's just like, okay, well, every time. But what I did is I would roll over my bed after my alarm went off. And this was after a couple weeks of me like not even knowing. I was like zombie turning off my alarm. If you've ever done that, that's crazy because you kind of turn off the alarm and you don't know it. And so then you sleep through your first class and you come to the edge of failing the class where your professor says, okay, you have a half a skip left because you've come to half class, not the full thing. So if you skip even a morning of class, you're going to boot it and have to retake it and not graduate. So I set my phone further away from my bed, and every morning I would roll out of bed. I said, God, give me strength for today and hope for tomorrow. I would get out of my bed, and I had energy, and I had strength. And I would do the next thing the next day, and I would be like, okay, I'm trying to get sleep. I'm trying to just be faithful. These are all the things I committed to. I'm going to fall through. Give me strength for today and hope for tomorrow. And he showed up every single time. Was I tired?
Yeah.
Showed up and I had strength for that day and hope that there would be strength for tomorrow. And we finished the semester without failing. All right. Anyways, that's how personal God wants to be with you, your weakness, and even in your physical weakness. Let's turn. That's my problem. That's God's promise. And then this is my punchline. How to overcome insecurity and weakness in Jesus' name. That's what we're talking about today. First one, we need to understand, be aware of, and trust in the power and strength of God. Understand, be aware of, and trust in the power and strength of God. Now, it's so important because I can go up here and read the Bible verses for you. That's making you aware, okay? It doesn't necessarily help you understand all the time. Sometimes I'm confusing, but it's making you aware, right? It's not making you trust in, though. That's up to you. You trust in it. Your conviction is your conviction. But you're going to come to a greater understanding by being consistent in reading your Bible and conversation, going to small group, staying plugged in at church. You'll be made more aware the more times you're around Jesus and Christianity. Maybe you just need to listen to some worship music more than you listen to the other stuff, or Christian podcasts instead of non-Christian podcasts. I don't know where you're at. And then we need to learn what it means to trust. And trust is on so many different levels for so many different people. For some of you, it might just be you have to trust in Jesus as being Jesus, that he actually came to die for your sins and wants to know you. For others of you, you have to trust that there's going to be food all summer when you're not in school anymore. Or that you're going to be able to get that job or make the sports team. Or finish school this semester so you don't have to go to summer school, right? There's so many different ways, so many different levels of this, okay? So let's unpack a little bit here in Ephesians chapter 1. It's a long one, but if you turn to Ephesians, you can just mark it out in your Bible. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance as holy people, and in his incredibly great power for us to believe. Now, I underline this part because it's really sticking out to me. I hope it sticks out to you. It says that power that is incomparably great for us to believe is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only today or then, but also in the future or in days to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his holy body, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. There's a lot of words, right? Okay, why is it so many words? Because we can't describe it in just a few words. It's like we're trying to put so many adjectives on all of this stuff just to try to describe God's power and his greatness. But the big part that I really want to touch on here in my first point of being aware of the power and the strength of God is that you need to be aware that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us inside of us if we'll let it. The same exact power. It's not like kind of that power. It's not like some days that power. It's like that same power that raised a man from the dead, not just one, but several in the Bible, that raised him from the dead is the same power that we possess and can wield both for us and for others. That we can bring light and life and hope and peace and joy to both ourselves by being intentional in relationship with him and to others by sharing Jesus and what he has and the best that he has for their life. What does it say? In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Have you guys ever heard that before? Made aware of more and more, right? Life to our mortal bodies. You already know that you're breathing today because God destined you to breathe today. That's at least what I believe. I hope that you agree with me. If you don't, maybe we'll take on the journey there sometime soon. But you are awake and alive and taking a breath right now because God wants you to take that breath. But above and beyond that, Paul even says right here, if we have the Holy Spirit in us and we're communing and being in communion with him, he's bringing life to our very bones. He's helping us stay healthy. He's concerned about our smallest of frailties and problems, diseases, and things. It's just right there. The punchline thing is the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. you invite Jesus into your life, into your heart, into your soul, and say, I don't want what the world has to offer anymore. I don't want to say yes to the world, the sin, the flesh, the stuff that just is not bringing me life and light and joy, but promises to in just a moment. And then moments later, I'm disappointed by it and frustrated that I feel that way. And I'm starting to sense conviction even. And then instead, I want Jesus. I want what he says is right. I want to know his heart. I want to know what he has for us. And so when you walk into that, then you have that spirit in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. That's the spirit talking about, the Holy Spirit, right? But before we can truly have the Holy Spirit in us, we need to know Jesus. And this is going to feel a little bit backwards, but first I wanted to make you aware of the power that was available to you, the hope that was available to you, the life that was available to you. And now I want you to understand better what it means to know Jesus. Do you really know Jesus? I think all of us in the room know a lot about Jesus. You could probably spit some good facts. You probably could actually even like share the good news. But do you know Jesus? I've been so challenged with this lately. And honestly, I feel almost a little bit hypocritical even like speaking this. Do you really know Jesus? I'm like talking to myself. Because I've been seeing on social media, right? I scroll more often than I'd like to. And I see on social media a couple different pastors, like in the same day, same weeks, talking about how Jesus said in the book of Revelation, many will call us and say, Lord, Lord, look at all of the things that we did for you. And he'll still say, I never really knew you. And so this week, as I've been praying and seeking God and reading my Bible, I'm just really convicted and been like, hey, God, but like surely you won't forgive me because like I'm preaching to these students and I'm doing stuff for church and I'm sacrificing my time and my evenings and different things to meet up with people. But then the Holy Spirit just convicted me and said, like, what? But like, are you getting to know me or are you just telling people about me? That's so important that we tell people about Jesus. First and foremost, it's important that we know who he is. We truly know Jesus because it's a simple principle, really. When you go on an airplane, have you ever been on an airplane and they've got the oxygen mask? They say, put your own mask on first so that you don't die and then help the other person. I think it's exactly the same way with the gospel. Like find Jesus, and as you're finding him, sure, right away, just start telling people about Jesus. You don't have to have all the answers or anything, but like know God and then make him known. The more we get to know him, the easier it becomes to make him known. So if you've ever wanted to share Jesus, but you've been like, oh, we'll just get to know him even more, and you'll watch as that kind of fades away. It's not a learning not to sin issue. It's a learning who God is issue. And as we learn who he is, we get to know him. It's like, what, sin? Not about it. Flesh? Not about it. Pornography? Not about it. Drinking? Not about it. Say drinking, because none of you are 21, so you should be drinking, right? Can't hear you. What? Right. This is a great question for you to ask yourself. If you didn't take a picture of one of them, or you want to take a picture because you haven't taken any notes, if a mirror could reflect your soul, your inner person, your spirit person, if a mirror could reflect who you are on the inside, what would you see? Not what would God see, not what would I see, what would you see? Because this is really between you and you right now. Do you know Jesus? What would you see? What would you see? I started looking in the mirror of my soul and I went like, okay, I don't like that. I don't like that. This is not cool. I feel insecure about this. That's a weakness. And it's not that we're going to wash ourselves and make it all perfect, but as we start to look into that mirror, we can start to say, hey, Holy Spirit, can you help me with that? I didn't even realize that was there. Hey, Holy Spirit, like, what in the world? I didn't realize I did it because I was hurting, because I experienced things growing up, and it's been messing with my mind even to now. Can you help me clean that up? What's it like to look into a mirror of your soul? Let's keep moving. We've got a little ways to go here before we're done. We did this right at the beginning, but a little bit more on the end here. I underlined this, and this is part of looking into that mirror. The verse says, "For Christ's sake, I delight in weakness." It's halfway through. "In insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong." My church kids might know this verse is, "For when I am weak, then he is strong." That's so often how it's phrased or how we place it, because we already got to the end. We just kind of skipped over the in-between part. But the in-between part is this: "For when I am weak, then he is strong, because my focus is on him in my weakness." Why do we delight in persecutions and trials and insults? Because they bring us closer to Jesus. They take us out of the equation. We become smaller and he becomes more. He becomes greater and I become less. Right? That's the idea. So when I am weak, then I'm strong, because then I'm leaning fully on Jesus. I had a mentor at one point, and I was worship leading and teaching sometimes, and they said to me, "The problem isn't when you feel like you can't do it. It's when you feel like you can do it without God. That's when the problem starts, because that's when you come to a choice. Will I just do this on my own because I can, or will I do it with God because that's what he calls us to do?" There's any number of things in your life that you can do perfectly. You don't need God's help. From a math test to a driving test to brushing your teeth and going to bed at night. You can do it without God. What do you do without God? Will you allow God to know every part of who you are? Learn to love him and be in communion with him, even when you already could have done it on your own. So important. It's not about us. It's about where we put our focus. So where we put our focus and what we dwell on determines our strength. It is the thing that is most important, and it's what Paul is trying to pour out into the Corinthians. When I'm weak, then I am strong, because then my focus turns to Jesus. And so, God, would you make me a person that relies on you fully? And if it takes persecution and insults and troubles and things coming at me and against me over and over and over again, all for your glory, Jesus. I just want to know you better. I just want to do it with you. Okay, and then lastly, just a hope in the Lord. We need to hope in Jesus. We're going to go quickly through this one. Isaiah 40, verse 30 and 31 says, "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble in the fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk." God doesn't promise that we won't get tired. Weakness and security, but he does promise that when we rely on him, he'll renew our strength to take on the challenge day in and day out, over and over and over again. It's strength not for tomorrow, but strength for today, and a hope for tomorrow. A hope that is Jesus, and our hope is not that is here tomorrow. Our hope is found in Jesus being there again tomorrow. I don't know what you are going through, but I know some of you are going through some hard things. Divorces, parents, relationships at school, all this stuff, right? Sometimes hope for tomorrow looks like hope for that to just be over. But instead, what if we just put our hope in Jesus and invited him in for it? If we just put our hope in Jesus and not for the situation to end, we did try to doom scroll or whatever it is that you do to distract yourself from the circumstances that you're going through, and instead you just be so intentional, give it all up to Jesus. So often I'm like feeling called to be in relationship with Jesus, but it's hard. It's hard to sit down and read my Bible. I don't always want to read my Bible. I don't always want to read that book that's going to help me to grow, or listen to a sermon, whatever it is that I need to do to be intentional. Pray.
Instead, I'll
distract myself. Moment's gone. It's like, oh, I didn't. But it's that journey with Jesus, the intentionality, the moving of distractions, being found in Him, that's so important. So we're going to break out this small group here. Leave me this thought on the screen as you go. The same Spirit that is in you is the one that raised Jesus from the dead. It's powerful. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for each and every student that you brought into this space tonight. And I just pray in Jesus' name that they would experience your light of life, that they would begin to experience life abundantly, full of hope and joy in your presence in so many different ways, God. We thank you for all that you're doing here, both at River of Life and youth ministry here. I just pray for an outpouring of your Spirit. We discuss that we would have revelation of what it means to lean on for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.